All right, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 30 this evening. And I've really enjoyed this study. And like I said, maybe last week, we're on Psalm 30 and we've had a few weeks off. So, 33 weeks in the book of Psalms. I mean, that's a long time. And I hope you're not tiring of it, but I've really enjoyed it myself in teaching, and I want to continue it on, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. But, the thing about the Psalms is, especially David as the author of many of them, you get the insight into David's heart. You get to think about what was going on in David's life when he wrote this psalm. And we have such an extensive history of David's life, and in many cases you can find out what was going on in his life. One of the things we've tried to look at is the poetic components of the Psalms, and how did he use poetry to relay to us what he wanted us to know. But I want you to think about this, and today as we're talking about Psalm 30, I want you to just think about, it's just a poem. Then I want you to think about poetry in general. And think about our lives being full of ups and downs, and all the different things that we might face. And in the Psalms, you find that. You find ups and downs, and you find joy, and you find heartache, and all different types of things. And that's why poets write, in many times. They want to express to you what's going on maybe in their heart or something they've experienced in life. And so they put it into a poem to try to help you feel what they felt, and then hopefully, be an encouragement to you. Sometimes they write to reflect upon the emotions that they're feeling at a particular time. I know that my Aunt Garnet used to, who was a teacher, and she wrote some poetry. She always kept a notebook by her bed. And so she would wake up in the middle of the night whenever she had inspiration, and would write many of her psalms in the middle, or poems in the middle of the night. And so poets use poetry to reveal to us their emotions and to help us. So think about this. David writing to let us know what's going on in his heart. David writing maybe sometimes in the midst of a trial. Sometimes David wrote as a reflection upon life. No matter what, poems and in general give us some insight into the human heart. And like I said a little bit earlier, because we have such an extensive record of David's life, many times we can find out what David was going through when he wrote the particular psalm. This particular psalm is more general. There's so many places that this psalm could be applied to his life that we don't really know exactly what was going on. Our different commentators had different ideas. One thing that keeps coming back could have been written during the time of Absalom's rebellion. It seems like you all have heard that, if you've been here and listened to these, that many of the Psalms are tied to that event. And when you think about how significant that event was in David's life, you can see why so many Psalms would be tied to that, because it had such an impact on him in his life. So here we come to Psalm 30. And in Psalm 30, what we see is David's wholehearted trust in God. Let's read. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And so there's different places in that psalm where you can hear David's wholehearted trust in God. In verse number 5, you see, he says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Where's it at? I have written down verse number 5. But anyway, it's there somewhere close. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. So we know David's wholehearted dependence on God. Okay? Then also in verse number 10, we see him trusting God when iniquities caused his strength to fail. So first of all, he's completely committed to God. Now, he has committed sin, and because of that, his strength is failing, but he's still trusting God. And he says this, I think I'm reading the wrong psalm for whatever reason. Man, I'm all messed up. I'm sorry, I read Psalm 30. I'm supposed to be on Psalm 31. See, here's what happens. No wonder I couldn't find my verse I was looking for. I just uploaded Psalm 30 to the internet today. And so I got Psalm 30 on the brain. Let's go to Psalm 31. Here we go. That makes it better. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. There it is in verse number 5, like it's supposed to be. If you're in the right psalm, you get it right. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my troubles. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let thy lying lips be put to silence, which speaks grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Now, going back to David's commitment, you do see it in verse number 5, where he says, and this passage of Scripture, should you should remember this verse from the crucifixion. But David, into thy hand I commit my spirit. You see David committed. In verse number 10, you see David saying, my strength faileth because of mine iniquities, and my bones are consumed. So you see David trusting in God, even though his sin has caused his strength to fail. And then in verse 17, you even see David trusting in God when others are not. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Look, God, I'm trusting in you. If they choose not to trust you, whatever. But I'm going to continue to trust you. Such an encouragement for us tonight is that we need to have the same commitment in our hearts that David had. We need to have the same understanding that as we go about our lives, there will be those that are no longer committed to Christ like they should be. There will be those that maybe even question our commitment to Him. But David was committed to the Lord no matter what happened. And that's the reason that David was truly a man after God's own heart, because he loved the Lord and he wanted to remain committed to Him, because David knew that it was God that had made him. And so he remained committed. Now, one thing, just another little kind of introductory note about this, is you might notice that, like we said about verse number 5, how it was quoted, that Jesus quoted that from the cross, but there are several quotations of Psalm 31 other places in the Bible. If you hold your place there in Psalm 31 and turn back to Jonah chapter number 2, Jonah in chapter number 2, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Okay, Jonah, I'm getting there. Jonah 2:8 says, neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Now, in your studies, you find that that this is not as easy to understand, but let's go to Psalm 31:6, and it says this, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. And I didn't even read Jonah. Look at there. I read Joel 2:8. Man, I'm hitting it out of the park today. Huh? Kimberly's married to an old man. There we go. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now, Psalm 31:6. I have hated them that regard lying vanities. You see Jonah quoting the Psalms. Next, Jeremiah quoted Psalm 31:13. I'm not going to make you look at them. But Psalm 31:13 says, for I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. Jeremiah quoted that 6 times. When, remember Jeremiah being the weeping prophet? Jeremiah was thrown into prison and he faced many heartaches and many problems. 6 different times he quoted Psalm 31:6. Jeremiah 6:25, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 20:10, Jeremiah 46:5, Jeremiah 49:29, and in Lamentations 2:22. So he quoted this psalm. If you go to 1 Corinthians 16, and this is the one that you can't tell as closely, I'm not going to turn there, but Paul quoted Psalm 31:24 in 1 Corinthians 16. And then you see, of course, Jesus, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus using the words of David to express his feelings. And so even Stephen alluded to that in Acts 7:59. So there is no doubt that God's people have always used the Scriptures. They've always studied the Scriptures, and they'd found some Scriptures to bring comfort to them, or Scriptures they know that they could apply to situations in their life that lets us know that God's people has always known the Scriptures, studied the Scriptures, and applied the Scriptures to their lives. That is something that is so important for us. It's one of the things I'm teaching at the mission right now is you're beginning your walk with Christ. What are those scriptures that you use that are key in your life to help you? One of them might be resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay? Sometimes in temptation and you're being tempted, that might be what's going on. And as you're being tempted, you have to say, devil, the scripture says, if I resist the devil, he will flee from me. So I resist you and you have to flee. Sometimes that's the only way you can deal with a temptation. But having scriptures to help you in your life is critical for us. And we need to find those scriptures that we can lean upon. And these are examples of those who utilize the scriptures to help them in their lives. As I've already said, it's difficult for us to determine when David wrote this particular psalm, but we do know the events of his life enough to know that they were sufficient to produce the events that you find in this psalm. We're going to look at very quickly David's expressed dependence upon God. We're going to talk about David's the difference in David's trust and those who do not trust. And then David's dependence in the face of discipline from God. Then David's dependence when others do not depend. So quickly, notice verse number one. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. David, very quickly, I'm trusting the Lord. And then he says, let me never be ashamed. David was not ashamed to trust the Lord. He wanted to be delivered because of God's righteousness. He wanted himself to be delivered because God is faithful. And so David was not afraid to express his dependence upon God. In everything, in every situation, even when David was being disciplined by God, he never gave up on God. He never stopped depending on God. Whether he was a victor in battle or whether his son was dying. Whether he was having victory in battle or the Lord was sending a plague because of his sin. Like we learned last week, he was near death. David never quit trusting God. He always depended on God. In all things, we need to make sure that we remember that. David, again, says he's going to practice dependence upon God because, notice at the end of, in the middle of verse number 2, be thou my strong rock. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's Psalm 29, when we talked about, no, Psalm 28, when David talked about God being his rock and how that he had in mind the granite mountains of Sinai and the strength that that picture had in his mind and how that would give him strength and confidence. And so David understands that God is his rock. He says, he is my defense. And because you are God, because you are God, hear me. See, bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. See, hear me. Save me, David says. Be my rock. Because you are God, hear me. Because you are God, deliver me. Verse 3 shows us how he depends upon God. You are my rock and my fortress. Now, what's going to happen because of that? David is expressing his dependence upon God. You are my rock and you are my fortress. And what's going to happen because of that? Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Notice that David wants to be led. And it's a good thing for David to want to be led. And it's a good thing for David to be led. But notice he says, for thy name's sake. David wanted God to work in his life so that God could be glorified. For your name's sake, God, lead me, guide me. You can see the dependence of David and how much he trusted in God. Notice verse 4, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. God is David's strength. He wants God to protect him from his enemies. Notice the things that we have discussed that David said about God. He is my deliverer. He is my defense. He is my fortress. I want Him to lead me. I want Him to guide me. He is my strength. He is my rock. You see these things. You see David's, those are words of dependence. I'm going to depend upon You to be the foundation and the strength of my life. I'm going to depend upon You to lead me and guide me in my life. You can see David's dependence upon God. And then, of course, in verse 5, you see that total dependence. Into Thy hands I commit my spirit. David is not just committing his heart, his life, his actions. He's not committing his talents. He's not just committing his house. He's not just committing his family. David's committing his all, everything he's got. You know, we talk about us being body, soul, and spirit. With the spirit being the deepest, innermost part of man, David is saying, everything that I am, everything that I hope to be, everything that I have, I'm giving it all. I'm committing it all to You, God. It's Yours. You take it. Total dependence and reliance. Is there any question that God blessed David the way that He did? There should be no question in our minds that the reason that God blessed David the way that He did is because David committed himself wholeheartedly to God. He wasn't, you know, okay, on Sunday morning I'm going to be committed to God, but on Friday night I'm going to be committed to David. Wholehearted commitment to God. And that's something that we need to see, David's wholehearted dependence upon God. Then in verses 6 through 8, we see that some are not going to trust Him. And I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. You know what? Notice what David said. I hated them. Notice he didn't say, I hated their actions. He hated them, the workers of iniquity. I hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. You see, they trust in lying vanities. This would be things like sorceries. This would be things like looking at the stars. This would be things like, you know, the zodiac and those type of things. That's what they depended upon. They trusted in those things. But David trusts God. God warns against those things. Those who can tell the future. Those who can soothsay or whatever. God warns about those and following those things. Our trust must always be in the Lord. Here's the other thing. The ancients, those in the ancient days, believed that you had to do good or be good or offer good to God in order to gain a blessing. But David didn't feel that way. David rejoiced in mercy. See, verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy. David knew that what was going on in his life was not because he was doing good, not because he was being good, and it wasn't because he was offering good. What was coming into David's life was coming because of the mercy of God. So think about this. What happened to the ancients when things were going bad? You know, if they thought, if I'm doing good, and I'm being good, and I'm offering good, then good things are going to happen to me. But what happened when things were going bad? Well, they weren't doing good enough. They weren't being good enough. They weren't offering good enough, and so they just had to offer more and more and more. But David knew that that's not the case with God. You can't give God anything to make Him smile upon you. It's all of His mercy. David knew mercy. He didn't feel worthy of God's blessings. He knew he was not worthy of God's blessings. He depended upon God, and he depended upon God's mercy. Again, in the ancients, when things begin to happen, things begin to go wrong, they begin to think, what have I done wrong? What do I need to change? How do I need to do something different in order to get the gods to smile upon me, to change their circumstances and to change their situation? David said, they can trust in those things, but I'm going to trust in the mercy of God. See, David knew that God knew his adversities and that God worked in them. See, the end of verse 7, thou hast known my soul in adversities. When David was facing the difficulties of life, he knew that God knew about those. And he also knew that he could trust God in the middle of those. And what a word for us. When we're going through the heartaches and the trials and the afflictions and the adversities of life, we need to know that God knows those. And he's going to lead us through those things. And we can depend upon him and depend upon his mercy and know that God works in those things. And so David is going to depend on God when others are not. Now, verses 9 through 14, David is going to depend upon God even though he's in the face of discipline. Remember, verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Here's what has happened. Somewhere David has sinned. And the judgment of God is coming upon David's life because of it. And David knows it. See, his strength, as we read earlier in verse number 10, his strength is gone. My strength faileth because of my iniquity. I'm in this situation. I'm in this place in my life because I have sinned against you, God. There is no doubt that David understands his condition of life and the difficulty that he's facing. But what's he going to do? Is he just going to turn his back on God? Is he just going to quit God because things aren't going good? Is he going to quit because, oh, I've sinned and I've really messed up this time, so I might as well just give up and go back to living like the world? No. David continues to depend upon God in the midst of discipline. Notice the first thing that he requests is mercy. God, don't give me what I deserve. In a sense, we looked at mercy this morning in our men's Sunday school class. In a sense, he's saying, God, I'm throwing myself upon the mercy of the court. God, I know I'm guilty. I know I'm getting what I deserve. And God, I'm asking you just to be merciful to me. You see, he's grieved. I'm in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, my soul and my belly. In other words, David's up at night. He's tossing and he's turning. He sees maybe the sin that he committed. When he tries to go to sleep, he can see that sin that he committed. And he's like, I know that it's my sin. I know that's what I did. I know this has happened to my family because of my sin. I know this is happening to this nation because of my sin. I know what's going on around me is happening because of my sin. And David was burdened with it. Caused him grief all day, every day. David senses grief. That's all he can think of is his grief. And his strength fails. He's overwhelmed. The only thing that he can think about is his troubles. You ever been there? When the only thing that you can think about are your troubles, that's where David was. But what did he do? Did he quit trusting God? Did he quit depending upon Him? Even though all these things were crashing in on him and he felt his strength failing? No. This whole psalm is telling us how David is just going to continue to trust God no matter the circumstance of his life. See, his troubles are so great that he was a reproach. See, verse 11 says, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors. In other words, the neighbors are saying, look what's going on down at David's house. Oh, David's getting what he deserved. You remember when David did so-and-so? He's getting what he deserved. not only his neighbors, but the other kings surrounding Jerusalem. David's facing some heartache. David's done some wrong. His God that he depends on is going to destroy him. He was a reproach. It even says his friends fled. He was forgotten. He had been slandered. And there had been many, they'd even taken counsel. They had taken counsel. Look down at verse 13. At the end of verse 13, they devised to take away my life. Hold your place there and look at 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 6. You say, oh, now wait a minute. Nobody would do that. You know that his merry band of men wanted to take his life once. You remember when he went out to the battle and he told some to stay with the stuff and their families were taken, their wives were taken, and their city was ransacked. The Ziklags, they spoiled Ziklag. The Amalekites spoiled Ziklag. How did David feel about that? Verse 5 says, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There was a time when they took counsel to take his life. But David continued to trust God. Look at verse 14. But I trusted in thee. My friends fled. I'm forgotten. I've been slandered. They want to take my life. But I'm going to trust in thee, Lord. Think about that. In the deepest, darkest time of David's life, when he knew that his sin had brought him to the position that he was in, he continued to trust in the Lord. If you receive nothing else from this tonight, I hope you receive this, that if the pressures of life are crashing in upon you and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're at your point where you think that you can't take anymore, recognize that David lived there too, and he never quit trusting God. He continued to depend upon God. He continued to trust in the Lord because God is his God. Don't give up on God. Continue to depend upon him. Continue to trust in him. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. You continue to trust God. Now, very quickly to close, David's dependence when others did not. Verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine enemies. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. Here's what David knew. David knew that his life was in God's hands. David knew that God was going to save him for his name's sake. And so God not allowed David to be destroyed, so God's name would not be destroyed. He even said, let me not be ashamed. Let the wicked be ashamed. God, I know this is where I'm at in life, and I know this is happening to me because of my sin, but Lord, don't bring me to the place to shame. For your name's sake, let the wicked be ashamed. Don't let them rejoice over me. You see, let the lying lips be put to silence. Apparently, some people were spreading rumors and lies against David. Shut them up, God, David says. You can see David's wholehearted dependence upon God. And David understood this. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which God has wrought for them. Verse 20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. The secret was God's presence in David's life. David knew the importance of God's presence in his life. And he desired God's presence in his life. And he depended upon God's presence in his life. And he asked God to keep him from the strife of tongues. David knew that God was kind and that God was his strong city at the end of verse number 21. And even when he felt cut off, David knew that God was his strong city. Verse 22, for I said in my haste, I'm cut off. David felt cut off, but he knew that God was his strong city. You see, when David felt cut off, those were hasty decisions. Those were hasty thoughts. Notice, for I said in my haste, I am cut off. You know, you may feel like that. You may feel like, as those things are crashing in upon you, that God's forgotten about me, or that God don't care about me, and that nobody else cares about me, and I'm just here all alone. But that's a hasty thing to say, because God will never give up on loving you. And I guarantee you that His people won't give up. They may have difficulty expressing it sometimes. They may have difficulty knowing what to do to try to help you. But it's not because they don't love you. They love you. They just don't know how to help you. And it was a hasty thing for David to say that he was cut off. And it's a hasty thing for us to say. So David tells us about how he's going to trust in God. He's going to trust in God even though he's facing discipline. He's going to trust in God even though others will not. And then he concludes this all by encouraging us to trust Him too. Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. Love Him. He loves you. He gave His life for you. Love the Lord. You are His saint. You're the called one, called to be His. Love Him. Here's why. Because the Lord preserves the faithful. Listen, why you want to continue to trust Him when all around you seems to be in disarray is because God rewards the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. I know it's cliche, but listen, your rewards that you gain in heaven will be worth what you suffer here. Our light affliction is but for a moment, but it worketh in us a far more exceeding weight of glory. The rewards we have in heaven are going to be, they're going to far outweigh any suffering we might have experienced here. And I know that's difficult to keep in thought, because sometimes I don't see how anything could be so glorious that it removes all this mess that I've experienced in this life. But we have to believe that what God said is true, and God promised us that. And we need to believe that. And that's what David is trying to get us to see. The Lord plentifully rewardeth. Hey, He plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. God's going to justly judge the proud. In other words, that one that's proud in heart and say, you can trust God if you want to. I ain't going to. Look at me. I'm doing pretty good. I got a good job. I got a good home. I got a good wife. I got $10 million in the bank. I don't need that God of yours. They'll be plentifully rewarded. They will be rewarded justly. And we need to believe that God is going to reward justly. So, be of good courage. and he strengthened your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. See, David's encouraging us to do the same thing. And you say, what do you mean he's encouraging us? Well, didn't he say, all you saints of the Lord? Does that include you? Are you a saint? Are you one of his children? Well, then trust in the Lord. You're one of his saints. Be of good courage. When you're of good courage, the Lord will strengthen your heart. Hope in the Lord. Continue to trust in him in the ups and downs of life, in the good times and in the bad times. When others are not following him, follow him. When you may be facing difficulty, when you may be facing discipline, trust him, trust him, trust him. That's the word that David wants us to see. No matter what season of life we're in, no matter what circumstances of life you're in, trust the Lord. What words of encouragement for us tonight. To trust the Lord, no matter what life might throw our way. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And we pray, God, that through the words of David, your people's hearts might be encouraged. They might be strengthened. And you might help them to continue to trust in you and depend upon you, just like David did. God, I pray that each and every one of us will have such a trust in you, such a dependence upon you, such a love for you, that we will be committed to you just as David was. And God, I do thank you that you promise us the rewards that your people have. And God, I thank you also that you're a just God. I just pray that you'll encourage your people tonight. Thank you for Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen.